listening to Cinema Jaw, episode 100, recorded on location at the Original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ry, the movie guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we pause, take a second, and celebrate Cinema Jaw.
The jaw, if you will, Ry.
We got to 100, Matt. It is probably shocked a lot of people, including me and yourself.
Yeah, no one's more shocked than us.
Yeah, I would have never thought that we would have been sitting here 100 episodes when we first got started back in 2009.
Well, it is the greatest movies podcast ever.
So indeed it is.
I kind of thought that we'd probably make it here.
And we got a special episode for all you jawheads listening at home. We got Eye for an Eye, The Vow. We have a theater review, extremely loud and incredibly close. And we also are going to do some reflecting on Cinema Jaw. We got some old clips that we want to sort of go over and
sure.
rehash and
yeah.
All that good stuff. And in addition to that, in a little while, we got a ton of friends, past guests, all coming down to Mother's here in just a short while. And after the break, we are going to celebrate the second half of Cinema Jaw 100 with them.
That's right. We're going to go live on the stage at Mother's. Usually we do this podcast in our little back room. There's nobody here, but we're going to have a full audience here. Hundreds of our friends, maybe thousands, Rye, but at least 30. And
I like that.
We're going to have an awesome good time with our friends and have a big party. We're going to do Cinema Jaw live from the stage. We have some special performances from Lord of the Yum Yum and the Flaming Dames. All that's coming up in the second half.
Yeah, and it's just great because a lot of people wanted to come out and celebrate Cinema Jaw's 100 with us. And we appreciate that they're coming down here very shortly.
Oh, man, they make us so happy. It's great to have cool fans. I know a lot of you guys, the Jawheads, are maybe not local. They can't make it down here. All the local fans of people who drove in from far away, we thank you guys for coming out. It's a treat.
So we're going to be talking about, should say, reflecting more on Cinema Jaw coming up here really short. But first we have Eye for an Eye.
Let's do it.
It is a new movie called The Vow. And Eye for an Eye is sponsored by...
The new 400 Theater, Rye.
The new 400 Theater?
That's right. It's the gem of Chicago. You know what the best thing about the new 400 is?
I'm taking a guess here. Full liquor bar.
That's right. You can get beer, wine, or cocktails right at the concession stand.
That is so fantastic.
They also have some of the best prices for first-run movies in the city of Chicago.
No doubt about it. And they are located at 6746 North Sheridan. And you can find out what movies are playing at the new 400 at thenew400.com.
And we thank them for their support of Cinema Jaw.
So Eye for an Eye, The Vow, Matt. A car accident puts Paige in a coma. She wakes up with severe memory loss. She cannot even remember her husband, Leo. So, he must work to win her heart again. The film stars McAdams and Channing Tatum and is based on the novel The Vow, which was written by Nicholas Sparks, who has already given us The Notebook and Dear John. Matt, interested or ignore on The Vow?
That's a big old ignore there, Rye. This plot is so contrived. I've never heard of anything worse. I mean, this is like screenwriting 101 BS.
I hear you. I have seen the trailer. I have suffered through the trailer many a times because they are just putting it out in front of every movie it seems I go see, no matter what. We also got television commercials showing it. I am so sick of it. I am giving a big, big ignore to The Vow.
We vow to not see this movie.
I like it. And you know, it's coming out right before Valentine's Day. It's trying to be the big romantic movie of the time. Please, do whatever you can to stay away from this movie.
Yeah, tell your girlfriend you want to see something better.
And speaking of something better, there's another movie coming out that I believe me and you have both seen, but it's being upgraded to 3D. Also should be noted, Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D. You have never seen a pod race or a lightsaber battle until you've seen it through 3D glasses. Matt, are you interested or are you going to ignore Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D?
I would so love to say ignore, but I can't. I'm going to see Star Wars in 3D. Of course I am.
The pod race scene in particular is going to be pretty fantastic. And also, I do agree, we were on a podcast, somebody and me mentioned them.
Yeah.
And we were having this conversation about Star Wars, and the gentleman was talking about how much he loves Episode 1 because of the lightsaber battles at the end with Darth Maul. And I agreed with him. I think they're some of the best in the entire series. So seeing that in 3D, the pod race in 3D, and the whole end with the space battle going on and the battle on a noob. Is that the name of it? The planet? Nobo?
No, you're way off, man.
I think a noob is my neighbor.
Naboo.
Naboo! There you go.
Yeah. Whoa, that took a while. I had to dig deep.
I think seeing all that in 3D is going to be pretty spectacular. So I think if there's one Star Wars in particular that's going to work best with this transformation into 3D, it's Episode One. So I'm giving it an interest as well.
Yeah, hats off to Lucas. You know, a genius at re-releasing old crap. Yeah, oh, 3D is big? We'll re-release it. Why not? It's great, and you know you're going to see Episode 2. You're going to see Yoda fighting Count Dooku in 3D. Everybody wants to see that. I'm there. I'm there for all three. I'm not going to lie.
It's a celebration of the Star Wars films, no doubt. Two interesteds for Star Wars Episode 1, two ignores for The Vow. Speaking of new movies in the theater, I got a review for you of Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Ooh.
Newcomer Thomas Horn stars as Oscar, a young boy who loses his father, played by Tom Hanks, in the 9/11 attacks. One day, trying to cope with his loss, he comes across a key his dad had packed away in a vase. From here, he goes on a healing adventure to find out what the key opens, while at the same time trying to find some closure. He encounters many people along the way, most of which have a great impact on him, especially the mute man who lives across the street and goes by the name The Renter. The film has opened to mixed reviews, with many people finding the story to be too contrived and Horn's performance to be annoying. I myself, though, Matt, I liked the kid in the movie, and while the story did feel a little manufactured at times, I still thought that it was touching. Even with Sandra Bullock in it, I am still recommending. She only has a supporting role. Ride the Movie Guy's great on this one. Three Jaws, a grade of a B.
I'm sold on this one. I got to go see it. I think 10 years has gone by since the September 11th attacks. It's time to have a good film about it. Seems like a good one. And Tom Hanks, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? I was commenting to Jen after we saw the film that Tom Hanks was the perfect choice because he's not on screen a ton, but because we're so familiar with Tom Hanks.
His gravitas.
Yes, yeah. He gives you that idea that you already feel sorry that he went into one of the World Trade Centers when it happens. You only had to spend so much time with them, but I think there's that connection with Tom Hanks that just draws you into, like, you know what's happening here.
Yeah,
and
Josh Baskin, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And really, like I said, a lot of people are saying that this Thomas Horn was annoying throughout the movie. I found his performance to be perfect for a young kid.
I'm sold. I really want to go see this.
Yeah. So, again, Ride the Movie Guys, three Jaws for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Word.
Yeah. So, Matt, this was, I don't know what number film it was I reviewed on Cinema Jaw, but it's been quite a bit.
Yeah, man. Holy crap.
The first movie I ever reviewed on this show was the movie Nine.
Yeah. That's right. Back the topic was movies with numbers in the title.
Yes, that was the first time Cinema Jaw went on air. I just remember Nine came out. It was a great way to sort of go with movies in the title, pick our best. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Should we tell the story of how we came up with this idea to do Cinema Jaw?
Sure.
So Ryan and I were doing a little film for our friend Charles Klein, who's a filmmaker, and we'd hung out a couple times before, mutual friends, and I just really love hearing myself talk. So I had recently discovered podcasts and I really wanted to do my own. Didn't know what I wanted to do it about, but I said to you, hey, do you want to do a movies podcast?
Knowing that I was into movies.
Right. And you had already started exploring that, right?
Right. I was trying to get a podcast off the ground just myself, which wouldn't have been so much fun.
Yeah. I saw some of your footage. You were like filming yourself in your bedroom with doing the 1 minute movie reviews. Actually, I thought they weren't bad at all.
Sure.
You could have gone that way, but we decided to do this and didn't come up with a name until just before we recorded the first episode. We were thrown around, we had no names. We were thrown around like...
We were zeroing in on it at the end. We had like Cinema Chat, stuff like of that nature.
Yeah.
Cinematronic.
Cinematronic was one of the ones I was big on. I knew I wanted it to sound sort of techno, but then when like Cinema Jaw came out of my mouth, I was just like, ooh, yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah, it stuck big time.
And it's funny, listening to some of the tapes, which we're going to play for you, some old clips of the show, it's amazing. I listen to them, and it sounds so raw and rough. And I just wanted to say that working with you, Matt Kay, working with Reno, I mean, really the best producer there is.
Oh, man, yeah.
Around. It really turned into a product and something that I'm so proud of and proud to listen to and share with my friends and family. And it goes a long way.
It does. You know, we were having a little conversation before the show, and one of the things that I brought up was that it's rare. I've been in a lot of bands. I've done comics. I've done other things creatively. And none of those projects, and I'm not just like, this isn't a big like pat ourselves on the back session, but this deserves merits being said. I've never been in a project where three personalities came together and just everybody fell into their own little groove to get stuff done, you know? Like, I couldn't do your job or Reno's job. There's no way in hell. It wouldn't work. And I think that's true of all three of us.
Fantastic synergy, I believe, is a word you were throwing around.
Yeah,
earlier.
Synergy, yeah. It's a buzzword, but it's true, man.
The group is stronger than the individual parts.
It is. It really is. And I'm proud of this thing. I am.
As am I. Cinema Jaw, first time we ever recorded was here at Mother's. It took place on September 15th, 2009.
Just saying that date, doesn't that seem like so freaking long ago, dude?
It does.
It's like 3 years ago.
Matt, if you'll indulge me, let's get in the DeLorean and travel back in time.
Let's do it.
And let's listen to ourselves on our first broadcast again, September 15th, 2009. This was the very first Cinema Jaw.
Coming to you live from the original Mothers, you're listening to Cinema Jaw with your host, Rye the Movie Guy.
Thank you, Matt. My name is Ryan Gigello, but I'm better known as Rye the Movie Guy, and I'm here alongside Matt Kabinsky.
That's right. Some people call me Matt K. My full name, Matt Kabinsky, and we're going to talk to you about some movies.
Exactly. Now, Matt, you're a movie lover for your whole life.
Absolutely, yeah. I've been watching movies, since I was, since I could see, so since my eyes opened.
Sounds good. Same here, and I've also been reviewing movies on Rye the Movie Guy blog for about 5 years. So hopefully you find these reviews and these upcoming commentaries on film rather interesting.
I hope so, too. So you want to get right into it? What do you say?
Sure. Oh, wow, was that rough, Matt?
Oh, man. Dude, it's terrible.
I didn't know what I was saying.
You know, I remember this one really well because as soon as we were done recording, I told Reno, save it out to my BlackBerry.
Yes.
Or something like, I think
we
it was
so
my black.
Yes, absolutely. We're so excited to hear ourselves.
And we drove home. You guys actually gave me a lift home that night.
Mm-hmm.
And we listened to the whole episode on the way home that very night.
And I thought that was great at the time. I thought, boy, are we good. And now I listen back at it and I think, boy, were we bad.
You know, yeah, it's easy let's say this. We've improved a lot since then. But even like our meager beginnings, I think the seed of what would become Cinema Jaw was there. And again, maybe I'm patting ourselves on the back here. But I'm proud of this thing. We did a good job even back then, man.
Sure did. And that was a fun episode, doing our numbers in the title episode. I loved how we started tying it in. I think that was the first string of what was later to become as we were tying themes in, because we weren't talking about a different theme every week. It just sort of grew out of that, was the idea like, hey, let's do this on the first episode because this movie 9 came out, to do movies with numbers in the title. And it seemed like from that, something started sparking every single week.
Yeah, and we actually, at the time, we were doing top 10 lists, which we came to find out was incredibly long. I think it was episode 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, where we finally shaved it down to an hour. And it was at the suggestion of Steve Benz from
WSDI.
Thank you, WSDI Chicago. And how did that relationship start? That was a you thing.
Yeah, we met over the internet, mentioned he would carry Cinema Jaw on WSDI. And just sort of gave us pointers on what he would like to see from Cinema Jaw if he was going to carry it on a weekly basis. And we sort of curtailed it around that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the biggest things that came out of our relationship with Steve Benz, we stopped fucking swearing, you know?
Perfect.
That was a big thing.
Perfect. And you know, as we were sort of going through our trials and tribulations of the first episodes, we had finally got to the point where we decided we were confident enough to have a guest on it, and we decided as a mutual friend our first guest should be Charles Klein.
Yeah, Chuck's the best. Obviously, he's a huge mutual friend of ours, and he came on. We did animated films, right? And we were up in my office. You know, we had our PBRs and whatnot, and we were in the conference room. We were at the board table
sure.
in my office, and that was good because in the next, I think it was a week after that, maybe 2 weeks after that, we had our first guest that we didn't know, that we weren't friends with, Ryan Mano, who is actually a really big personality here on Chicago radio.
Yeah, and right now Ryan Mano can be heard on Howard 101 on Sirius XM radio on the weekends.
Yeah, and at the time he was on Q101, which is, again, at the time, a lot has changed since then, was the biggest rock station in Chicago.
Sure was. And after Ryan Mano, we started getting some more guests. And in particular, one came along, Elliot Serrano, who writes for the Red Eye here in Chicago, still does, writes everything geek, if you will. His Twitter handle is geek2me.
Yep.
And we had Elliot Serrano on, and then that brings us to our second clip. This is a fantastic moment in Cinema Jaw history when we were playing trivia. I asked Elliot a question. It was a pretty easy question, too, to the Truman Show, but he answered so quickly that he answered incorrectly, and just listen what happened. All right, so we're tied at 4-3. Over to Elliot for the tie.
For the tie. And my dignity.
Good morning. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Edward R. Murrow.
No. Back over to...
That was good night and good
wait!
Luck.
Good yes. No!
I'll give the clue again. I'll give the clue.
No!
Hey,
I know it now.
The game's over already at this point.
It's over already. He's got it.
But here it is. It's good morning. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Yeah, I wish I knew this after that display. I do know it. I kind of remember
Truman
it.
Truman Show, dude.
Was it Truman?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Matt wins 4-3. It could have been went into overtime there, Matt.
Oh, God.
It was a nail biter.
I mean, and I made your producer take his headphones off because he couldn't handle my handle my histrionics.
Wow, that was something.
We'll bring it down in post. Don't really? Worry. I think they couldn't handle it in the front bar.
Wow, that Elliot is absolutely insane.
Yeah, he's bonkers, dude. We've had him on, what, twice, right?
Twice. I mean, just listening to that clip makes me smile because the guy is just fun, he's insane, and he really gets into the trivia.
Oh, man, he's serious competitor. So I've actually, to this day, I'll call him out on this, I will. He posed an Oscars picks on his blog, and I, like, nailed it, and he's supposed to give me geek paraphernalia. Still hasn't. So, Elliot, I know you're listening. I want my geek paraphernalia.
And kept getting more guests, exploring more topics. And finally, we got to a fantastic guest when it came to film noir, war movies. We love having this guy on. Your friend, Jim Terry.
Yeah, Jim Terry's probably the best comic book artist who's working in Chicago today. I mean, his style, many of you might not know what this means, but many of you will. It's like Will Eisner meets Frank Miller, and I love this guy. As soon as I saw his art, I was like, this is somebody I really want to work with. I've worked with him on a couple of comic book projects, and through that, we became pretty tight.
Yeah.
And then I started to get to know him better, and it turns out he's a huge film buff. He puts us to shame. I mean, let's just call it how it is, Rye.
No doubt about it, especially on the lists that we had him on for the film noirs and the westerns. I mean, it's tough to keep up with that guy. And also, Jim Terry has a very interesting laugh, and that is why we chose this particular clip where Jim is just having a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a bit of a longer one, but there's several laughs from Jim Terry. Pay close attention to his reaction to the first movie I put on my list. Bobby, though, I mean, they're titans, so.
Yeah. If you want to see a hilarious Bill Murray movie, you got to check out The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge?
Which is the movie that put him into a four-year hiatus. Yes.
You know what? You can't tell my dry humor over the radio.
It's
when
a POS,
I
right?
I
mean, it's,
no, no, it's good. It's good. Yeah, it's just not funny.
Well, you got to listen for his laugh afterwards. Then you know he's joking.
That's it. That's the Jim Terry secret.
Yeah, right. But not a joking matter. His best westerns. Jim, wouldn't you say you're a film buff, especially when it comes to film noirs, westerns, and war films? This is your categories.
I basically, my favorite movies are the ones that, I like a lot of testosterone in the film, you know. I think maybe I just don't have enough of it in real life, you know, in my own actions, you know.
Ah, you're a man's man,
I'm,
Jim.
I'm definitely a flight person instead of a fight. If Matt and you started fighting, I'd be out the door right now.
just wouldn't want to see me murder Matt right in front of you.
I wouldn't want to see that.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd watch from a distance.
Yeah.
He'd be taking bets. He'd be the bookie in the corner.
I'm so anxious to hear Matt's top five. I can't wait to hear
me
him
too.
Talk about Back to the Future 3 and a couple of the westerns that Matt's
just
gonna,
took my number one.
Matt's going to sprawl out
kidding.
Here. But Matt, why don't you get us started here
All
with
right.
your number five favorite western?
The Billy Crystal masterpiece.
Oh, no.
City. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to go there, too.
No, seriously, folks.
Curly's Gold.
That Jim Terry, I tell
you. Yeah, you just can't replicate that laugh. I mean, it's one of a kind. And, you know, I love having him on for so many reasons. He's awesome.
He is. And we're going to have him on again after we flip into the 101s, 102s here.
I know. Triple digits, dude.
It's pretty crazy.
It's really crazy.
Mm-hmm. And so throughout the time, we've had some amazing guests from
Kathy Byrne from the Chicago Film Office, Josh Blaylock, who's the head of Devil's Due Publishing here in Chicago. The comic
Flaming Dames, who have been on a couple of times now.
Yeah, for sure. Man, there's too many to name. There's so many great guests. Susanna Negevin, editor-in-chief of Michigan Avenue Magazine.
Absolutely. And you know what, Jawheads, if you're just catching this episode and or just recently got on, just look through all the past episodes and find some guests that you would think would be very entertaining, because I will tell you, all of them are, in their own way, just absolutely fantastic guests. I love to have each and every one of them.
All right. Can I put you on the spot? You got a good Jaw story? Anything. On the spot.
On the spot. It would probably just be going back to the very first time we did Cinema Jaw. It was actually the first time I had ever met Reno. And really quick, funny story was, Matt, you were here actually doing some type of story about bartender tricks.
Yeah, bar tricks. That's
right. And because you don't really have very good manners, you never thought to introduce me and Reno. So Reno was actually standing there, and as was I, and I had no clue who Reno was. Little did I think I'd be working with this guy every Tuesday for the next 2.5 years already. But at the time, me and Reno stood. We never said hi to each other, never acknowledged each other for about 25, 30 minutes while you got your picture taken doing your card tricks. And then finally you turned and you're like, oh, this is Reno. He's going to be our producer. Like, you know, you could introduce me. There was an awkward silence there for 30 minutes.
Well, I was being interviewed, dude. Wait, Reno, you got a mic over there, dude?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'll put you on the spot now. What was that like, being in that situation?
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Short memory for Reno.
Yeah.
Do you have any Jaws stories? I mean, I know you've been through a lot of shit doing this show.
Nothing in particular. Some of the guests we've had are very entertaining, very captivating. Yeah, I don't really have one stellar story.
How's the experience been overall?
It's been fun. It's an interesting project to be part of. It's always something different. It's always a good time.
And Matt?
For me? I said this over by the stairwell. It's you know, as a creative person, I've been in a lot of projects that have sucked, and there've been, you know, personality conflicts. Doing the Jaw is like probably the most rewarding project I've ever been a part of my entire life. That's saying a lot.
Sure.
So that's for me.
Perfect. So we've had a lot of fun doing it, and this clip that we're going to play here, sort of a montage of early on all the fun that we had and the guests that we had. Enjoy this. Who do we got?
This week we have Susanna Negevin, who is the editor-in-chief of Michigan Avenue Magazine.
Thanks for pronouncing my name right.
We're welcoming back to the show, Ryan Mano. Welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this.
Elliot Serrano of the Red Eye, welcome back to Cinema Jaw.
Thanks for having me, guys. I feel especially honored to be here on the celebration of the Back to the Future movies.
We're bringing her back for the Oscar episode. Without further ado, Film Office.
Thank you. Glad to be back. I'm doing great. I'm very excited to do the show. Congratulations.
You probably heard his voice on the Man Cow Show for, I don't know, maybe 14 years now. I'm just taking a stab at that. Al Roker Jr., welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Thank you.
It's not like I told you that 5 minutes ago, Rye, 14 years ago, but that's all right. It's all good. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Susanna, Titanic. Define this movie, chick flick or not. One word.
Chick flick B-. Her head is bigger than his. You know what I mean? If a girl's head is bigger than the guy's head, then it almost looks... They just don't look like they could be plausibly be
you
a couple.
About the physical size of their melon?
Yes. Like, you just can't... that's a rule of thumb I have.
Really?
Yes.
I'm talking about 1995, Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Ooh, good one. Totally stole my number one right off the bat, Rod.
Wow, are you kidding me?
No. Can we go back in time? And
let's get back into DeLorean. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people out on the fence. We had Charles Klein a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about how this movie's out there. Everybody here, it's epic. You got to rent it. I finally took a dive and rented this film, and I want my 4 hours and 25 minutes back. This was terrible. Terrible.
What? You went over my helmet?
We swing it over to Matt Kay. Morgan Freeman, Evan Almighty.
God.
He's Five. Getting easy ones.
Game over.
He's
it's
getting
over.
Easy ones. Wait a minute. Jim Carrey, Man on the Moon? He's getting the
well
easy
done,
Are man. You kidding me?
You had the chance to pass
Are
it
you
over
joking?
To
wait a minute. Wait a minute. I could have passed?
Yeah, you could have said.
I didn't know I could have passed.
You could have said Matt can go first.
Hey,
then you would have had all
wow.
my questions. I would have had all yours.
I had the headlock, I tell you. All right. Hey, we did have some jawbreaker questions.
All right. So let's bring it. Let's bring the second half of the show on, Ryan.
Yeah, this is really exciting. Tell you what, we got a lot of people about to enter mothers here. I think I hear a few already up in the front of the bar. So this is going to be an absolute blast. We're going to have fun. Flaming Dames are performing.
Yep. Lord of the Yum Yum is going to do some a cappella beatbox experimental comedy.
Yeah. And we are going to be giving away a 1 month free, unlimited, should say.
Unlimited movies for a month from
Movie Pass.
Yeah.
And we want to mention Movie Pass.
Yeah, they are our newest sponsor. We thank them for their support. Did you know, with Movie Pass, you can go and see all the movies you want in the theater for one low monthly cost.
Which is absolutely spectacular. And the best part is, Matt, if you go to our website or our Facebook website, go to MoviePass from there and enter the code CINEMAJAW, you save $15 on your first month.
This is seriously the best thing in the world.
Yeah, so definitely check out MoviePass, save some money by entering CINEMAJAW, and we thank them for their sponsorship.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so we are going to take a break here. When we come back, we are going to be live with a lot of friends, and we are going to be playing a game called Masterpiece Theater, where Matt has selected a few films that we want to see if the jawheads in attendance believe they are worthy of being called a masterpiece. I have selected some as well. We'll see what the jawheads have to say about that.
That's right, and we also got some trivia coming up as well, as always.
Yep. Let's take a break, Matt, and when we come back, we will be live.
Episode 100.
CINEMAJAW.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay.
And I'm Ry the Movie Guy.
And I'm Steve Redbox Reno Mrazek.
And we just want to say a big thank you to all the loyal jawheads that have been listening these 100 episodes. We promise to have way more awesome episodes in the future. Here's to another 100. Thanks for listening. Hey, how about the Flaming Dames? We got to follow that shit. That was awesome. Thank you, ladies. And thanks to Lord of the Yum Yum. Give it up for him,
awesome
too.
Awesome job.
Blowing our minds. Blowing our minds.
Awesome. Awesome job. Lord of the Yum Yum was spectacular, man.
Oh, my God.
Blew my mind.
Yes. We're actually recording, and you guys are a part of the CINEMAJAW 100 episode officially right now. And all the people in California and New York that are just listening to the audio feed on their iTunes are really jealous that they didn't get to see Lord of the Yum Yum and the Flaming Dames perform.
Absolutely.
And now you guys have to listen to us talk about movies.
And we wanted to also mention, we want to thank all our sponsors, PBR from the beginning. The new 400 Theater, MoviePass.
Yeah, our newest one, MoviePass.
And also a shout out to the Evil Squirrel Comics, support them as well.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. So yeah, give it up for Evil Squirrel Comics. Well, why not?
So our first segment is about this masterpiece, like we had mentioned earlier, Matt.
Yep.
It's award season. People are throwing the word around like crazy. This is a masterpiece. The artist is a masterpiece. Yada, yada. So me and Matt decided to pick a few films and let the audience decide if it's a masterpiece or if it's not. But you got to be vocal one way or the other. Either boo if you don't think it's a masterpiece, or cheer like hell if you do, and then we're going
right.
to determine. It's sort of like you guys are the court. The jawheads tonight are the court, the cinema, the masterpiece court.
Yep.
So, Matt, you get us started.
Are you going to dance and take your clothes off?
No, absolutely I'm not.
Please?
No, I can't
actually,
follow them up.
Yeah, no.
You couldn't.
No. So, Matt, you start us off with what film you got going. And mind you, we can't give easy ones away. So these are borderline, and please be vocal.
I think they're – you know what? I'm going to actually sub out one of mine at the end. But.
And if you have something to say about it, this mic here is live. We can call you up, and you can make a few comments.
All right. So I'm going to do like – I'm going to read the facts about the movie that I wrote down, and then I'm going to announce the name. So this one is directed by the great Lord of the Rings, Mr. Peter Jackson. And it's widely regarded as being one of the goriest films of all time. And it was released as Brain Dead originally in New Zealand. One of my favorite films. Is it a masterpiece? Yes or no? Yes. Dead Alive. Yeah. Holy shit. See, I think I picked all masterpieces, dude.
We're going to give him that one, but I don't think it's a masterpiece. Because of Jim Terry's yell, we'll give him a masterpiece. Dead
Wait,
Alive.
Did you agree or no? Yeah, sorry. Anybody disagree with that?
How many people have even seen it?
Yeah. Everyone that hasn't seen Dead Alive, go home tonight and watch Dead Alive. You will be forever changed. There is a scene with a priest fighting zombies using kung fu in a graveyard. And he says, "I kick ass for the Lord," and that's just one of many awesome one-liners in the movie. Another really memorable one is, "Your mom ate my dog," and then not all of it. So,
all right. Always tell Matt after the first one on his list, let's get serious. My first one up came out in 2000, directed by Charles Klein's buddy Darren Aronofsky. I'm talking Requiem for a Dream. Ellen Burstyn, Jared Leto, Jennifer Connelly. Difficult film to watch about addiction. An outstanding performance by Ellen Burstyn. Coupled.
What are you laughing at? Requiem for a Dream.
And filmed brilliantly. So I'm offering Requiem for a Dream. Masterpiece or no?
What are you guys saying? Wait, we're tossing around the word masterpiece like it's freaking candy.
Yeah, you got to be a tough crowd out there. We got two masterpieces already in the book. What do you got next, Matt?
All right. So I think Requiem for a Dream was damn good. Is it up to this film? I don't think so. Directed by, you know, here, I'll go in order here. Never mind the crappy sequel and the long-delayed part three. This 1984 science fiction comedy film is on the pantheon of great comedy horror, often ranked one of the funniest films ever, directed by Ivan Reitman, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. Fucking Ghostbusters. I mean, is that a masterpiece? Yes or no? Yeah. Wait, somebody said no. You said no, Roker.
Al Roker, we got a live mic over here.
Get over here and give us a comment, Roker.
Al Roker Jr. from the Man Cow Show. You may know him.
Wait till you get to the mic. We got to hear what you have to say.
No, I appreciate Ghostbusters very much. I appreciate it. But when was the last time you saw it?
I have the DVD, and I seriously watch it probably once every 5 months or so.
Okay, it's like my wife's boobs. It doesn't hold up. It just doesn't hold up.
The opening scene alone. The opening scene alone with Bill Murray testing the guy's ESP, you know, where he gets it right and he shocks him anyway and he spits out the gum. I don't know, he's going to get electric shocks.
Okay, here's the thing. You guys are the ones who said masterpiece.
Right, right.
Okay? Masterpiece.
Yes.
This is like talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Is this a masterpiece? Tell me about some of your other masterpieces and see if Ghostbusters is a masterpiece as compared to some of those others. Am I saying that it's not a great movie? Am I saying that it's not something that I hold dear in my heart for the last 25 plus years? Yes. Is it a masterpiece? No.
I agree with the Al Roker.
Al Roker, outspoken as always. Wrong, but outspoken.
All right, our next one up.
Go for it, Ry.
Our next one up came out in 2004. If you didn't know Paul Giamatti before this movie, you knew Paul Giamatti after this movie. Thomas Hayden Church, Virginia Madsen.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, before tough we even, crowd already.
Didn't even read the title yet.
I am nominating the movie Sideways. Masterpiece or no?
Ooh. No, go to the other one. We got Ed Fairman, Wizard of Sorts. This guy's a great magician.
Awesome magician.
Right. You have fallen under the spell that this movie casts all over people about our age. And what it is, it was the, oh my God, we're afraid to get old and end up fat and ugly like Paul Giamatti is what it is. And here's the deal. I'll tell you another thing that's not that great. Pinot Noir. Yeah. It's a whole movie about a kind of crappy wine.
Wow. Tough crowd.
Yeah.
I don't like wine either. I like PBR. But one thing's for sure, we are not drinking any fucking Merlot.
We are not putting that one in the masterpiece category.
No, I don't think so, dude. Nice.
You're up next, Matt.
All right, I think this one's going to be controversial, too. It's near and dear to my heart, so I'll sell it to you guys, okay? The great Mel Brooks has given us a number of amazing films throughout his career. I could have picked any one of them. I seriously could have picked any one of them. But what's my personal favorite? What part of the podcast is this? This is now. What's happening now is happening now. Okay. What happened to then? We passed it. When? Just now. Spaceballs. Masterpiece or no?
Masterpiece!
Oh, no. I am out on a ledge.
I told you on that one. We are not putting Masterpiece in the category.
I seriously, when I made this list, I seriously thought each and every one of these were going to be like slam dunks. Oh, we got Jonathan Cohen.
Jonathan Cohen, local filmmaker.
All right, look, you want to talk about a masterpiece of comedy from Mel Brooks, you got to talk about either Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles, okay? How many people do not remember the bean around the campfire scene in Blazing Saddles and Slim Pickens walking out, waving his hat, saying, haven't you guys had enough yet? You know, how can you forget? That is miracle. Or, excuse me while I whip this out, okay?
Woo!
Putting on the Reds or my, what knockers? Come on. Baseball,
right.
So many cheap jokes that even he was embarrassed by them.
Hey. Pizza the Hut is awesome. Hey, boss, you're delicious.
I told you were wrong on that one. Way off, man. All right, our next one came out in 2004. It's Jim Carrey movie, and Jim Carrey does not have probably any other masterpieces in his filmography. This one was directed by Michelle Gondry. Also stars Kate Winslet, Tom Wilkinson, Kristen Dunst, Mark Ruffalo. We crawl in to the human brain and watch all the memories of a past love disappear forever. The imagery in the film is spectacular. I give you guys Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Masterpiece or no?
I think you won. That's a masterpiece. Really? Ghostbusters? No. Spaceballs? No. But Jim Carrey's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless... Who saw that movie?
Yes! I have faith in the Jawheads. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm losing the crowd, man. All right. I want to tell you guys a little story about the greatest detective who ever lived. I only mention it because sometimes there's a man. I won't say a hero because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man, and I'm talking about the dude here. Sometimes there's a man, well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that dude is in The Big Lebowski. Masterpiece or not? Well, I think we got a clear winner there. Really? No love for Spaceballs.
Well,
Big Lebowski's a slam dunk.
Yeah, you had to rely on the dude. Now, this one, as Matt likes to say, is controversial, but I don't think so. The only reason it's probably not already labeled a masterpiece by everybody is it's probably the newest movie on the list. Twilight Eclipse came out the same year as this movie.
Oh, okay. Whoa, you scared the hell out of me, dude.
Directed by Christopher Nolan, Leo DiCaprio, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm speaking of Inception. Is Inception already a masterpiece?
Whoa. Really? It's a Matrix knockoff. Let's do that again.
One more time. Inception, yes or no?
I heard a few no's. Anybody's got a comment? Who's got a...
Chuck Klein.
Yeah, what? He's just drinking his PBR, trying to lay low.
I feel the movie Spaceballs is not a masterpiece. I don't think any Mel Brooks movie is funny, and that's all I'm saying.
We are putting Inception not in the masterpiece category yet. Too many boos.
Yeah.
What do you got, Matt?
I got one. I hope you guys have seen this one. It's kind of old. Frank Oz of Yoda and Miss Piggy fame also directed one of my favorite movies, and I think one of the best movies of all time. Starred Michael Caine and Steve Martin, came out in 1988. the tale of con artists Freddie and Lawrence and how they get taken. That's right, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Masterpiece or no? Come on, let's hear it. Well, I totally heard some boos there. Who was booing? It's a masterpiece. Fuck
yes. Yes. All right, our last one up came out in 2007, directed by the Coen brothers, our second Coen brothers film. It gave us one of the best villains in recent years with Javier Bardem. I'm speaking of No Country for Old Men. Masterpiece or no?
I don't have a coin on me there. David J. Fowley, I don't have a coin.
David Fowley, you got something to say about No Country for Old Men? David Fowley, critic at keepingitreal.com.
I got a Chuck E. Cheese token. I could flip that.
You know, you could flip a coin about it if you want, right?
Nice. That, yeah. Friendo.
Anton Shkur.
Yes.
Oh, now I get right. The reference.
No, I mean, it's a masterpiece. It has to be.
We have nominated No Country for Old Men a masterpiece. It's one of the best chase films from start to finish. I know a lot of people didn't get the whole idea of the movie. But, I mean, really, when you think about it, the storyline of the hero, Lou Ellen, he's very little in the movie. When he dies anticlimactically, it's not like that was the main point of the movie. The main point of the movie, in my mind, is the new breed of violence in today's world. And I thought the Coen brothers knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, the Coen brothers are consistently great. And it's probably one of the best endings of all time. And it's probably one of the best villains of all time. But the pacing is a little slow, I think, for the general populace. I mean, everybody in here is a super movie buff. So it's easy to get masterpiece. Everybody's throwing them out like lollipops. I don't know about this one, man. Time will tell, but we'll give it the masterpiece moniker for now.
All right. We want to thank you guys for participating in the masterpiece court. Up next, we have movie trivia. And if you guys have listened to Cinema Jaw, we play trivia every single week. Many guests in this audience have taken on Matt Kay.
Yes, and beaten me.
And usually win.
Yes. You, Logan lost.
How many people in this room have beaten Matt Kay in trivia?
Wait now. How many people have lost? Well, good news, folks. I'm not going to be the contestant tonight. We're going to pick Team Rye and Team Matt. And actually, we already picked. So we're going to get three of CinemaJaw's former guests on this side of the stage. And three of CinemaJaw's former guests on this side of the stage. And Team Matt versus Team Rye in CinemaJaw 100 movie trivia.
Yeah, now we drew the names as everybody came in and we saw what guests are here.
Check,
Matt,
check.
Order them in and get the stools there ready.
Okay. We can have a rematch, Adam Fendelman. And in fact, come on up here. You're on the stage. Wait. How are we going to decide who's Team Ryan and Team Matt? That's one thing we didn't do. We'll just go down the list back and forth. I'll be the first one.
Yeah. Al Roker Jr.
Come on to Matt's side of the stage, Al Roker Jr. Everybody give him a round as they come on up. On Team Rye, we got Adam Fendelman of Hollywood, Chicago. Jesus, man.
Adam.
It's the PBR. It's the PBR. Come on up, Adam. Round of applause. You may not know these people. Just clap anyway. It sounds good on the tape. All right. Adam, you're over here. Team Matt, I got Charles Klein. Charles Klein, come on up. Jesus, Rye, you just got Jim Terry. Oh, Klein, I hope you brought your A game, dude. And next up to the stage, where are we? That was, okay, Team Rye. Team Matt, I got David J. Fowley. Come on up, David.
David J. Fowley, keepingitreal.com.
Team Rye, Lauren Wolf.
Lauren Wolf from the Lauren Wolf Music Band. Is this what it's called?
Is that 3-3? Did I miss somebody? I got three? Oh, he's getting a drink. Okay, all right.
All right, now, as we mentioned before, they're going to be playing for somebody out here to win a one-month unlimited movies in the theater. You can see them anywhere you want, courtesy of Movie Pass.
Yeah.
But one of you guys has got to be the first to answer these trivia questions, and then you'll be on each team. So to represent who they're playing for Team Ryan, the first person to answer this question in I Love You, Man.
Just yell it out, and we're going to do it visually.
And I Love You, Man.
I'm
Paul
watching.
Rudd has a bromance with Sidney, who is played by what actor? Right there, we got to get
yeah. Yeah, that was the first. All right, so if Team Rye wins, you get a free month of movies from MoviePass. All right. So now this is for Team Mad. Everybody pay attention. Rye, you got to judge. Steven Soderbergh directed this movie, which Matt Damon plays a whistleblower in a price-fixing conspiracy against ADM.
Right there.
Yep.
Michael Gallinari. I'm butchering his name, I'm sure. Gallinari?
Gallinari.
Gallinari. I'm terrible with my names.
You know, we've been doing Cinema Jaw for 100 episodes, obviously. And in that time, Ryan, I think you have butchered more names.
There's no doubt about it.
Hey, wait. Who's the guy in The Hangover?
Oh, I can't even say his name. Zach Galifianakis.
You got it! Yeah! Are you guys ready?
Wait, let's let the guests introduce each other. Start over there with Adam. Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Come on. It's not, hi, I'm Adam.
What do you want to know?
What do you do?
I review movies.
What website? Come on, dude.
HollywoodChicago.com.
All right.
I'm Jim Terry. I'm a comic book artist.
I'm Lauren Wolf. I front a rock band.
Where can we find your music?
Where can we find my music?
Yeah.
LaurenWolfMusic.com.
All right. And are you going to be performing here at Mother's in a couple of weeks?
I am on the 16th.
There you go.
All right. Let's go over to Team Matt. Let's start on my right.
Would that be my left?
That would be your left.
That's awesome.
And you are, sir?
Al Roker Jr., AlRokerJr.com, or on iTunes, AlRokerJr.com. And I was the black guy on the Man Cow Show.
And you, sir?
My name's Charles Kleinen. Klein, I don't even know my last name.
You even butchered your name.
I did. And I'm a fighter pilot.
Fighter pilot, all right. You're also a filmmaker.
Like Hal Jordan.
And you?
My name is David J. Foley, and you could find my reviews at keeping-it-real, R-E-E-L.com.
How many times a day do you say that?
No.
Now, here's the thing, too, is usually each week the guests get a lifeline call to rescue me, Reno. Our producer helps them out with a clue. But since we have a live audience this week, you get one lifeline, ask the audience, and you guys could just shout at it like the Price is Right style.
I'm doubtful that they're going to need to use it because there's three people on each team in the mob mind.
All right, and we're playing for a one-month free courtesy of MoviePass.
Yep.
Unlimited movies.
It's either going to be Michael Gallinari or Samantha Long.
All right, I'm going first.
Go for it.
Question number one over to my team. In The Blind Side, the ridiculous Sandra Bullock won the Academy Award for her performance, but what actor played her husband in the movie?
They're conferencing. They're discussing it. They're whispering.
I think it was Tim McGraw.
1-0, Team Ryan. 1-0,
oh, man.
Team Ryan.
All right, guys, you got to get all of these right, okay? So just watch me for the cues. I'm going to be spelling out words with my eyebrows. In Public Enemy, Johnny Depp played John Dillinger, but what actor played the FBI agent tracking him down? Melvin Purvis.
The answer is Christian Bale.
That is correct. Yes.
1-1. 1-1. We got a ball game here.
Hey, what do we do if there's a tie?
We got a jawbreaker.
Okay.
All right, question back over to Team Ryan. Denzel Washington teamed up with John Travolta and James Gandolfini in a movie that centers on the New York subway.
Taking Pelham 1-2-3.
Ooh.
2-1, 2-1. And I actually forgot to mention, this is 2009 movie trivia because that's the year Cinema Jaw got started, 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Should be noted. Should have been noted.
You see how Denzel question went to that side?
Walter Matthau one.
What's that?
You see how the Denzel question went to that side? That's BS. I'm just saying. You would have
had that one, though? That was a Travolta question.
Al Roker, no conspiracy theories. These are randomly generated questions.
Malcolm X. No?
No, probably not. Are you ready for your next question? You guys got to get these right. Sam Long is counting on you. Okay. This movie was directed by Nancy Meyers and sees Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin play a divorced couple who reignite a spark at their son's graduation party.
It's complicated.
It sure is, and that's correct. It's complicated. Point
2-2. 2-2.
This is a ball game.
Next question over to Team Ryan. In the brilliant sci-fi film Moon, Sam Rockwell plays the lone astronaut on the surface of the moon, but who voiced the computer Gentry?
Kevin Spacey.
Three to two. It's all Jim Terry all the time.
You know, I got to say this right now. Okay. So I actually did defeat Adam Fendelman, and I did defeat Lauren Wolf. There's no chance in hell I'm ever going to defeat Jim Terry.
Yeah, you don't need us. Just this guy.
He's good. You got to get him on your website. All right. Next question over to Team Matt. Sherlock Holmes came out in 2009 and was directed by Guy Ritchie. But what was the name of Guy Ritchie's first directed film that came out in 1998? They're whispering. David J. Fowley is whispering into...
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
That is correct.
Masterpiece, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Actually, I would say yeah. I would.
It's tied up here, 3-3. Question over to Ryan's team. The subject of this 2009 documentary was the capturing of dolphins in Japan to be either sold to aquariums or slaughtered for meat.
The Cove.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Terry doesn't even look at his partners.
Hang on a second.
That is correct. 4-3, Ryan's team.
Jim Terry was just having a discussion with me about this film.
Whoa.
I don't...
It's a fantastic movie, isn't it, Jim?
It's 2009, baby.
I agree. If you haven't seen The Cove, put it on your queue.
2009 was a great year for film, and not the least of the reasons being that that was the year CinemaJaw started. Shameless self-promoter. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Question number 8. The shirtless wonder, Matthew McConaughey, starred in The Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, in which he ends up falling for an old girlfriend of his, Jenny, that was planning his brother's wedding. What actress played Jenny?
Jennifer Garner.
That is correct.
4-4. Big ball game here. We throw it over to Team Ryan. In Up in the Air, George Clooney works for Career Transitions Corporation as a guy who flies around the country firing people. But what actor plays his boss in the movie?
That is tough. It's a tough one, man.
You do have a lifeline. Ask the audience. You might as well use it. They want to yell.
They're conferencing, Rye.
This is tense.
I know.
We got a month free of unlimited movies on the line.
I know.
Ask the audience.
Gallinari and Long are sitting on the edge of their seats. Yeah. They're salivating. Oh, well, you can get another beer. I thought you were salivating for movies.
We're going to ask the audience.
They're asking the audience who played George Clooney's boss in Up in the Air.
They're wrong. Don't say Bateman.
I said that.
Yeah, he did say it. It's Jason Bateman. But thank you, audience.
That is correct. 5-4, Team Ryan. Over to you guys.
Oh, Jesus. You know, they would have got that wrong. Damn this audience participation.
Whatever.
All right. Team Matt, you got to get this one right. Pressure's on, guys. No pressure. I'm just saying. It's not Spaceballs. Not X-Men. I didn't write these. Rye did. So there's a hint. Ready? Seth Rogen plays a mall cop in this movie that sees him trying to catch a flasher who exposes himself to shoppers.
Observe and report.
Yes! Good job, guys.
5-5. Last two questions here. Over to Team Ryan. In the movie Adventureland, Jesse Eisenberg gets a job at the amusement park Adventureland and falls in love with Emily, who is played by which actress? They're thinking.
Kristen Stewart.
6-5. My team went perfect. It's over to yours to keep this a tie.
Well, your team did need to use a lifeline.
True.
All right, guys. Harold Ramis directed Jack Black and Michael Cera in this comedy that had the tagline, "Meet your ancestors." You do have a lifeline.
Year one.
That is correct.
Tie ball game.
Oh,
tie
man.
Ball game. It comes down to a jawbreaker. We ask Jim Terry, better 2009 war movie, Hurt Locker or Inglourious Bastards?
Hurt Locker.
No!
That wasn't the real jawbreaker. Not the real jawbreaker. The real jawbreaker is this, and you got to go fast. Lock in your answers quick. Closest to age of Jason Bateman?
38.
We lock him in at 38.
How about you guys?
Al Roker Jr. had a crush on Justine Bateman?
I had a crush on Justine Bateman when she was on Family Ties. He's at least 44.
So 44?
Yeah.
The answer is 44.
We're going to give it to Team Matt. He's 43 years old.
That is awesome. Yes. That means Samantha Long, right? Is oh, wait, you were Team Matt. Oh, sorry, Sam. Michael Gallinari is winning a month of free movies from MoviePass. Dude. You guys win some Cinema Job buttons. Nice, do it. Thank you.
Well done, well done. Hey, we're coming to the end of a great Cinema Job. We recorded these two segments live. It was a blast.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get to 100 as we started in 2009. So really want to thank everybody who's listened to the podcast, supported the podcast. And once again, he's not up here. He's behind the scenes. But our producer, Steve Mrazek, give him a round of applause. Thank you, Reno.
Throw your hands in the air, Steve. You know what? It bears saying again. I mean, this guy is seriously the best. Thanks again, Steve, really, for making this thing possible. Been part of a lot of creative projects, and this is one of the best ones I've ever done. Thanks to you, Rye.
Aw, thanks to you, Matt.
Aw. Let's hug.
Aw, jeez.
I think that's it, right?
That's all. If it's the first time you're listening to this podcast, you can check us all out free on iTunes. Check us out at cinemajaw.com. We want to thank the new 400.
Movie Pass.
And Evil Squirrel Comics.
Yep. For everything.
Absolutely. So until next week, until episode 101, check us out on Facebook and hit the like button.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.
100 episodes! Play some funky music, white boy. Let's get drunk.